Stand together in prayer as we prepare for God's word. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your love, your grace, your understanding, your mercy, your gentleness, your passion, the pleasure that we could have in you. Father, thank you that you give us a wonderful family, Lord, that you give us a wonderful church family to go through the challenges of life with, to be on this journey on, Lord. We pray that we would continue to grow and desire to be on the right path as we follow what you have for us, Lord. Father, as we come into your word today and really look at what it means to be a family, what it means to be involved and real in each other's lives, Lord, that you would challenge us. Lord, that you would really challenge us to rethink, to be open to what you are saying to us, Lord. Father, we are so used to doing things our way, so used to be doing things in the backyard, so used to doing our own thing, Lord. And I just pray that you would be challenging us, Lord, with what your word says about being in real community, about growing in that area. And Lord, I just thank you for this church family that has been such an example to me of what these scriptures that we're going to go over really, really mean. Father, we ask for your blessing as we come to your word. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us clearly, that your Holy Spirit would cover us, and that we would hear from you. Bless us right now as we come to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we're going to be talking about what it means to be committed to the church family. What it means to be a part of a family. And as you guys know, we have something very special here, don't we? We have something very, very special. We have every time I try to explain what our church is like to people who aren't from here, I try to, I it's like a taste of heaven. You know, all different cultures and backgrounds and people and experiences were coming together in the name of Jesus Christ and receiving each other according to the name of Christ. And you guys have been just an incredible example of what family means, of what a church family means. And I want to encourage us to be really open, because I think that God has even more for us in this area. And I think as we go through the scriptures, we're going to hit that. So look, we're starting out in Acts 2, starting in verse 41, the last verse of where we ended last week. And we're continuing on in our tall trees, deep roots, of really having our foundation, having the roots in deep in the Word of God, so that we can produce the kind of fruit that God desires for us to produce. Verse 41, those who accept, remember, Peter's done what? He's been giving this message. He's been sharing the gospel. He's been telling the truth about what it means to be a believer. He's been challenging the people of what they had done to Jesus Christ, and that they all were guilty of sin before God because of the sin in all of us. He had to hang on the cross. And they came to that place of, what must we do to be saved? And he shares with them the gospel. And that's where we've been in the last few weeks, is Peter really sharing. And then we ended last week right here in verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Imagine your church growing from a couple hundred at most to 3,000 and a couple hundred, and then growing every day. Do you think there's going to be any growing pains? Growing pains are interesting in a church. When just as a family gets older, our kids are teenagers now. You guys have gone through those growing pains. As you get older and bigger, there's realities of life, isn't there? There's those challenges that are faced. And here, 3,000 are added. And so how do you respond? And I think what we're going to see here is something beautiful of how they responded. But one of the first things that comes to my mind is, If you're coming to a church, what do you do as a new believer? If you've just heard the gospel about how Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, how you can be free from guilt and shame, you can experience God here and not now, not just when you die, but you can have him right now. And you experience that joy of coming and receiving and believing in Jesus Christ. And you know him and you love him back. What do you do as a new believer? I think one of the most important things is that we see here is you get plugged in. Because things change on the inside. Man, when God came into your life, did it happen quickly? Was it miraculous? Yeah? Did the outside change just... No, the outside takes a while. I'm still working on it. God's been very, very patient with me, and I need every bit of patience that he has. But as a new believer, how do you get more... I love it when people come in, and they're on the outside, and they're looking at it, and then they come to faith, and then they just... I'm all in, okay? I don't know what that means, but here we go, because that's the great adventure. That is the great adventure of faith, of coming in, of stepping all in. And if you try and stay on the sidelines, if you try and stay near the game but not in the game, man, I went to football yesterday, so I'm a little excited about the football idea. But man, if you try and stay on the sidelines and not get involved, it's not the same, is it? But when you're a part of the family, when you come in and you join in and you commit to what God has for you, God's going to do a great blessing. The value of belonging. The value of belonging. 3,000 were added that day. But they weren't just added in numbers. They were added to family. And that means that now the family is growing. Now, man... Now we have an opportunity to see how we come alongside each other and bless each other. And that's what we see with this next section of scripture here. It's Acts 42 through 47. I'll read it through first and then we'll break it down. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Four things. Everyone was filled with awe in the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Guys, this is a beautiful picture of church family. And here in the West, in a Western culture, this scripture is extremely threatening. Excuse me, you want me to do what? You want me to share what? You want me to get involved how? To the point of cost, of time, of effort, of what I have to... Wait a second. Everybody has their own stuff. I mean, don't the law say you can't steal, and if you steal, you get put into... We all have our own stuff. And being successful is having more stuff. And so if I have more stuff than the person next to me, then I've worked harder, and it's mine. I achieved this by the sweat of my brow. This can't be saying that I'm supposed to give of what I've worked for. That's not American. Here, remember, America is where you help people up. But then they do it and they have their stuff. And they don't need my stuff. There's a mindset in the West that is so... challenging. That the gospel challenges. And guys... I'm not saying that America is a wonderful country and how we've done things isn't wonderful, but it's not perfect. It's not the kingdom of God. And so we're doing some things right and we're doing some things wrong. And I think if we come to this scripture humbly and with the ability to be taught and to be challenged, because this is not how the world is supposed to live and can live outside of Christ. For this kind of fellowship to take place, there needs to be the transformation of the gospel in the lives of the people. Do you understand that? Because apart from Christ, the one I worship is me. And if you guys are willing to worship me and my ideas, we're going to get along just fine. Problem with that way of thinking is, man, if I'm God, we're all in trouble. If we're all God's, we're all in trouble. Because we are broken vessels. We are struggling. At times, our old pain, our old struggles are what then fuels us hurting others. You've heard me say it before, hurt people hurt people. People who are hurting and broken hurt other people because it's what they know. But when the gospel comes in and transforms us, something changes in our mind. We go from death to life, and now we've got the ability to love and to give and to serve. And if we have a God who says, you know what? I love you so much and I want you to be holy and you're not. I'm going to die in your place. If we have a God who is servant oriented, it's okay for us to be servant oriented. It makes sense, doesn't it? That we would desire to be like our God. And if he puts others first, maybe our mindset needs to change even more than it already has. Verse 42 here is kind of it's interesting. It's a scripture that really talks about how they devoted themselves really to real relationships. And the way that we have real relationships with each other is having a real relationship with God first. And when we are transformed by the gospel, some things need to change in our day-to-day, everyday walk. It says in verse 42, they devoted themselves to four things: the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And then it goes on, and basically verses 43 through 47, take those four things and bring light to all four areas. And so we're going to break it down here as we go in with verse 43. Let's see how Luke unpacks it. The apostles' teaching is the first one. Verse 43, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Have you ever seen the power of God in action? Have you experienced it personally, where you saw his wonders, where you prayed and God answered prayers? Angel was just sharing me today how she got to live out church family, how somebody blessed her this last week, and out of love of being a family member and what it meant to her. Man, thank you for sharing that with me. Praise God. Praise God. The apostles had these wonders and these signs as they're teaching, and the people, they were in awe of the apostles' teachings and the miracles that God was doing through them. And they weren't just talking about God, but people were experiencing the presence of God as they were sharing the gospel, as they were moving from place to place. They got to experience the power of God. One of the things that I believe that's one of the biggest challenges in the church today is we do a lot of talking about God. And guys, is it important to be a Bible-teaching church 100%? If we're not a Bible-teaching church, we're going to go in a wrong direction really quick. But if we're a Bible-teaching church and the Bible teaches about the power of this transforming God, then we better not just talk about God. Then we need to see the transformation of life, and not just talking about transformation, but experiencing it and living it out and sharing it with each other. The teaching of the apostles, guys, it was nothing to be messed with. You see, the people, when they heard the teaching, what do you think they were thinking? When they see the power of God in action, this is a powerful God. All of a sudden, the ears become more attentive to what is his word. What does God say? How does he want us to live? And there's a sense of awe. And you get this in the scripture. It says, everyone was filled with what? Awe! They were taken back by the power of God. When's the last time you were in awe of God? That you just saw him work and you were like, God, I need to have this go from the head into my heart and soul and life. And man, when's the last time you were challenged by seeing his power ministered in people's lives? Have you been physically healed? Have you been spiritually healed? Have you been relationally healed? Have you been emotionally healed? You see, God's interested in the whole person. We think of healing as just the physical healing. Praise God, he doesn't just care about us physically. And that, because guess what? Eventually we're going to die. No matter how many times we get healed, eventually the body wears out. I'm experiencing some health challenges right now. You know what's going on? My body is weak. I'm experiencing some things that I don't know what's going on yet. You know what happens when we're in a position where we don't have all the answers? Praise God, we become more dependent on God. Can God heal me? Yes. Praise God, he's not just worried about the physical, because the physical, it'll eventually break down fully. But he's interested in the spiritual, the emotional, the relational, and the physical. All of it. He doesn't want us to be walking wounded. He doesn't want us to be the kind of people that we're living in a survival mentality. If I can just get through the day. Guys, that's not living, that's surviving. We were not called to survive. We were called to freedom in Christ. And yet many of us choose bondage to sin, bondage to feeling like a victim, bondage to the junk that's been done to us, bondage to our own guilt and shame for what we've done. And that's right where the enemy wants us. But when the truth of the teaching that is filled with the Holy Spirit, awe and wonder, because people are healed in all different areas of life. Another area that it talks about is fellowship. Fellowship. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to what? Fellowship. We have a lot of images that come to our mind when we think of fellowship. I grew up where fellowship meant for 5 minutes you had a cup of coffee and a donut. And that was official fellowship. I love that part of our DNA here is sharing a meal together, because we see from the Word of God, there's something special that happens when it's not just stand up, spend 2 minutes, and then be on your way. But every Sunday after the service, we go downstairs and we have a time of food and fellowship. It's a great place to start of really being involved in each other's lives. Because the relationships and the conversations that are taking place downstairs aren't superficial. There's real people sharing with others what they're going through, what's happening in their lives, praying for each other, talking to each other about what's going on. From there, there's the people are being invited, women are being invited to the women's Bible studies where they can hear the word and share and share what's really going on. And boy, for the guys on Wednesday nights, being able to have the time of being in the Word and then sharing, being real with who we are and praying for each other. Yeah. Powerful. Because those times, and then being encouraged to spending time in the Word separately and individually, so that, you know, if the only Word that you're getting is on Sunday morning, it's not enough. It's not enough. But when there's real fellowship, some things happen. One of the things that that I got to experience, it was such a blessing. I had the wrong idea. When Julie and I went to be missionaries in Uganda for 6 years, one of the things that I had wrong in my brain was I had a very romanticized idea, a very romantic idea of what missions was going to look like. And I had a romantic picture of us coming in, super Christians, and we're coming in to help save the day. And missions is hard. And I was surrounded by people who knew things about faith I had no idea about, because they had suffered and struggled and suffered and struggled and been faithful to God. My whole worldview was challenged in a really big way. I really struggled, because all of a sudden there weren't these pat Christian answers that I could just apply. This is my pat Christian, this is my Christianese to man. And living was hard. Physically living was hard. And going and getting the water that you were going to drink from the well and carrying it back, and just the realities of living deep in the jungle, man, it was really challenging. And then we had the family groups, and it was basically 450 orphans, children without parents, and we were trying to recreate family as much as possible. And I got to tell you, the family that I have now can still learn a lot of lessons from what I experienced as family there. We had, for Julie and I, we had one family group of about 30, 40 kids that we were involved with. And they were our family group. And so there was a much stronger connection to that family group of being involved. And every night it was a meal together. After the kids had done school and they'd worked in their own family gardens together, then the older teens would go and work on their personal gardens, and then they would come home and we'd have family together, a meal and a devotional time that was like an hour devotional time every night. Try that with your kids here in the U.S. I can hear it now. Dad, no! Man. But singing and sharing the Word and hearing from multiple people about what God's doing in their life and how that scripture applies. It was a powerful time. We got to experience family. And it was incredible. Luke's idea of fellowship is focused on a more radical meaning of the understanding of fellowship. The word fellowship comes from koinonia. It's built on the root word meaning common, having in common and sharing. And this whole idea, and verse 44 speaks of having possessions in common. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Excuse me? That's commitment that I don't understand right there. I got to be honest with you. I'm preaching on this. I don't fully understand this kind of commitment. Is this what we're called? The heart of it is what we're called to, guys. And what that looks like is going to be different of what God is saying to you specifically. And I don't get to make up those specifics. That's between you and God. But I do know he's saying to all of us, be committed to a greater degree to the people around you, to those in your church family, to those in your community. Have the heart of Christ. And what is the heart of Christ? He loved us so much that he came and he lived a life without sin and he served the people. God himself, remember, this is the King of Kings, right? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the guy who's in charge, humbled himself and became a servant and gave his life for us. We know from Romans we're called to be living sacrifices. So what does that mean for you? I don't know, but God does. And the specifics of how that works itself out is going to be different for us. But it's going to be challenging to all of us, I promise you that. If we're living in a way that honors God, it's going to be putting God first and others first. And that is painful. It's just a reality. I like serving me. I like me being served. Boy, you should have seen me growing up. When I came up, I'm going to maybe overshare here, but I'll try not to overshare. When I was in high school, I would come back from school, come back from basketball practice. I had a loving mother who loved me so much, she babied me a little too much. And I would be just aching and sore from practice. And besides practice, I'd work out 6 hours a day, 6 days a week. And I had all these goals that I wanted to accomplish and all these things I was aiming for. And I would come back and be exhausted. And as I would come in, my mom would go upstairs and she'd turn on the bath water and get a hot bath. And I just kind of, man. But she delighted. Did she spoil me a little bit? Yeah. But she also taught us to spoil others a little bit. To love well. It's one of the things as I think of my mother now, that I miss so much, is how much she served the people around her. That heart that she had for me was the heart that she had for everyone. And she gave of herself. And it was beautiful. This is the fellowship. This is what the fellowship was like in that early church, of that giving and serving and doing. And yes, koinonia means fellowship, and koina means to have in common at its root, to have in common. So what I have, it's in common with you. And it's not just, guys, if we're thinking just stuff, we're missing the mark. Stuff is the. What about things that are more than stuff? Because does stuff fade away? Now, remember, Jesus say? What does it say in the gospel when it says anything you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me? Remember when he's saying, you know, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, when I was naked, you clothed me. And then the response is, Lord, when did I feed you? When did I give you something to drink? When, Lord? When you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. This, guys, this kind of koina, this kind of having in common koinonia, fellowship, can be very threatening, very challenging. Because there's a great cost to it. Why? Because we all, even those of us who are poor, compared to the rest of the world, we've got a lot of stuff. We do. We have a lot of stuff. There is no command here that we should do exactly the way the early church did it here in this book. But the heart of it, the heart of what's being said, is what's being taught. We should be giving at the point of where there's a cost to ourselves. When somebody's in need and you hear about it and God is putting it on your heart, maybe God's saying, you know what, don't step in here because I have a lesson for this person. But if you're praying, you're going to hear the Holy Spirit say something like that to you, or you're going to hear, you know what, get involved here. Because they need to know that they're loved in Christ. And sometimes a small act of kindness shows the heart of Christ in such a way that the desire to be right with that God of that person is a response that follows. It's pretty easy to just to justify our attachment to stuff, especially in the West. Luke admired this sacrificial love for the sake of those in need. And guys, we know this because this isn't the only place that Luke talks about it. Luke, more than any of the other gospels, any of the other teachers, any of the other apostles, we have so many teachings by Luke which have this area of focus, that Christians use their possessions for the needs of others and not just for their own comforts. Remember, only Luke tells the story of the Good Samaritan. Only Luke. It's something he values of giving of yourself for even those who the world says is your enemy. Those who the world says you should hate. No, you use what you have to bless them. You bless your enemies. You bless those who are in need. In Luke 10. Also in Luke 12. Luke alone tells the parable of the rich fool who built bigger and bigger barns and the folly that it was. And the warning that comes with that. Only Luke talks about the dishonest manager. Luke talks about the rich man and Lazarus. And it goes on. He keeps putting this message forward. More than any other New Testament writer, Luke stresses the danger of us being bound to our stuff, to mine. That's mine! Now, we don't always say that out loud, but we often think it. Have you ever had anybody get too close to your stuff? And you try it in a very nice Christian way, get away? Oh, hey, I have some other junk back here that I could give you. Stay away from my good stuff. What about giving the first fruits? What about giving the best to the people around us that we have? What about giving it such a way that there's a cost? And not just stuff, but our time, of our love, of what we're passionate about, of investing in other people's lives. Guys, discipleship, if you're involved in discipleship, you've got somebody investing in your life, it transformed and continues to transform my life. Having men who speak in regularly to my life. I didn't have a dad who knew the Lord, still doesn't. And I didn't have that growing up. But I had other men who came and spoke in. And some of them only spoke in a little bit, but it made a huge difference. Doesn't take a lot. Having my life be all about basketball, and that's all anybody saw me as, was a ball player. And then having one of the guys who played college ball, who was an elder at our church, and ask me about my walk with Christ. And he was more, even though he was a ball player, he was more interested in how I was as a human being, of how I was in my walk with God. I'll never forget how he just asked a couple questions, and I just, because nobody asked me that. And all of a sudden, I had somebody asking me real questions and involved in what was really important in my life and not the things of this world. And when I came, I'll never forget when I came to that place of realizing all these practices, all these training times, 6 hours a day, 6 days a week, all this time of God wants me to now go as I'm getting ready for college to not take any of the stuff I had achieved, but instead go into ministry. And at first I was like, no way! Do you understand? Man. And as soon as I did, I didn't have to put a place to live anymore. Can't live at home. It's not an option if I'm not going to take what I had achieved. There was a cost. Yeah, I remember God being faithful through it. And my mom finding ways to minister to me through that process and to reach around the corners to help me out. I'm so thankful for what God did. I'm so thankful for the path he put me on, because it wasn't a path of me, it was a path for him. And I keep getting in the way all the time. I do that all the time. But sometimes we get to see his healing power. Sometimes we get to see it not only on the outside, but where it really matters, on the inside. Sometimes we get to see being broken and a mess, and then we become whole in Christ emotionally, mentally, spiritually. It says they've devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and the breaking of bread and prayer. Verse 46 really breaks this down of the breaking of the bread. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts and there, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They're sharing real life. They're spending real time together. Guys, you know how we get through this? By blessing each other and blessing those outside of the church family? By being together more. By sharing what we have with each other. By enjoying each other's real relationship with each other. Do you have somebody that when you really blow it, when you really sin, and there's a consequence to your sin, do you have somebody here that you can share with, that you can be real with, and they won't judge you, but they'll pray for you and help you through a process of reconciliation? Guys, praise God, we don't have to put on masks here at this church. A lot of churches, it's about looking right and going through the most. This church is about real relationships with God and each other. And when we're struggling like we all do, we have people that we can share and be real with and take steps forward. And God moves, and it's powerful. And it's powerful. Guys, I love that we meet downstairs for food. I love that we have the small groups that meet together and we're in each other's homes. I was just talking with Kathy, and she says, oh, you should have seen the light on her face. As she was talking about, we had our dinner group yesterday. Oh, it was, and just this, man, we got to hear, there's a joy in being together. It's powerful. It's wonderful. They devoted themselves to real life together. And it's beautiful. And last, they devoted themselves to apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And verse 47 says, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, they were praising God and having favor with people around them. Why? Because there's something that happens when Christians actually act like Christians with each other. People go, people are being nice to each other and putting others first. That looks weird. I don't understand that. I haven't experienced that. I want that. You see, because it's real family. What happens? Have you ever hung out with a friend growing up and they had a really healthy family and you just like to be around them? Man, I think of one friend, and every time I went over, I just loved to be around them. Because there was something different. Everybody was loved and received and accepted, and there was fun. The family was fun. And they talked about real things, and man, it was cool. Loved it. Well, here, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, there's something about praying and praising God and being thankful. Guys, we have a lot to be thankful for. Think of how you're blessed. Don't get lost on what you don't have. Focus on what God has blessed you with. The easiest way to struggle with depression is to think about all the ways that your life isn't what you expected. Well, if it isn't what you expected, how can God redeem it? And how, by being involved with real relations, now you start seeing the power of God. And you start seeing the people around you seeing God in a new way. And when the people around you start seeing them in a way, people start coming to Jesus. And that's where real transformation takes place. Luke says, they focused on God and they praised God. I love it. It doesn't mean that they didn't do fun things as a family. When we get together, there's times where we should just play and pray. And the prayer just comes out of us playing. The time of worship just happens naturally. It's not a scheduled time for worship right now. We have played long enough. Now we pray. What if it's all connected? It's all together. You can't do one without the other. Man, now it's real. It's authentic. When they got in touch with each other, they enjoyed God. When they spent time together, they enjoyed God. They prayed. You see, they devoted themselves to real relationships with God and with each other. Guys, that's my prayer for us. That we continue to... Guys, we are eons ahead of where we could be. You guys are doing an amazing job in this, and yet there's so much more room for us to grow. And I want to encourage all of us. Do I think membership in a church is important? Yeah, I do, because it's another form of commitment. But it's not the only thing, and it's a place to start, not a place to end. Is it healthy to make an outward commitment, an inward commitment? Yeah. But that transforms itself into, that means I'm willing to be involved, I'm willing to serve, I'm willing to use my time and my treasures and my talents for God's purpose through this family. And I don't know what that's going to look like fully. I've got some ideas of some things, but his ideas are much better. It's going to be great. And we will experience more and more healing personally as we get our eyes off ourselves and onto him and onto others. It's an adventure. I'll never forget to my mother-in-law's a little bit of horror, I think. Julie and I didn't have a nice official song after we got married, and we were introduced to everybody as Mr. and Mrs. Matthew, or Mr. and Mrs. Shorak. And we get introduced, and we had the song that was rocking out of The Great Adventure. This is The Great Adventure. No, yeah. And we go out to that song. It was a perfect song. We loved it. Not all the parents did, but we loved it. Because we were going out on this adventure. Guys, it is an adventure. Life with Christ, whoo, get ready. He will take you to places to do things and meet people and be used by God in ways you never thought possible. And here's the part that I love about it, is it's really exciting. Because when I make life about me, it gets really boring. But when I make it about God and what he's doing, now the whole world gets real small and comes right to the doorstep. And here we go. We get to affect the whole world by just being who we are in Christ and living that truth out. Let's go on this great adventure together. Let's experience what that means more and more as we come united of what family really means, of real commitment to each other, most of all to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you so much for your word. Father, thank you that we get to be challenged by your word. Lord, this has been a very humbling message to give. As you know, I have so much area in my life I need to grow in this. Father, thank you that you're willing to voice your truth through a vessel even like me. Father, we ask for your blessing. We ask for your encouragement. We ask for your Holy Spirit to move us and to change us and transform us in such a way that we find greater pleasure in being living sacrifices for you. Father, we pray that all those sacred cows that we have in our lives, all those things that we hold on to, that's mine. Father, for me, I think of children. Those are my kids. It's so easy to pull back rather than reach out through the kids, Lord. I just pray that you would change our mindsets, our understanding of what it means to be a family and to have a family and to have our family be about something that's more than what we want, what we've planned. So, Father, we pray for this great adventure that you have for us. Father, we pray that we would be humble enough to hear from you and to lay down the things that we need to lay down and to follow you into what you have planned for us, Lord. I pray that we would put our idols aside and follow you in your truth, in your love. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.